This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Open for Business. Fuse Ecoteer Outdoor Adventures is a social enterprise that focuses on conservation work and also tour operator with conservation research experience. I'm here with one of the co-founders, Daniel Quilter. Daniel, nice to be speaking to you. You started Ecoteer way back in 2005, right? What were you offering then? Because I'm going to talk about the tie-up with Fuse a little later, but way back in 2005, take me down memory lane.
Good morning. Thank you, Frida, for this opportunity. Yeah, so where I started is actually I started in Borneo back in 2005 in Sukal. So I had this kind of epiphany moment when I was doing a boardwalk about 6 a.m. in the morning, and I could hear these gibbons calling. And then I just saw one come down to the boardwalk and then jump off again. And I thought, wow, okay, this is absolutely amazing. I have to try and get more people to do internships, volunteering abroad. So I went back home for a couple of months back to the UK, and I talked to a couple of website friends of mine to try to pitch the idea of EcoSphere. So the original idea was actually kind of a platform, a membership platform, where people can contact ecotourism entities and ecologists all around the world and try to connect with them by paying a membership fee to get internships. In fact, in an ecologist for 6 months to 1 year, sort of thing. And it went great back in 2005. And then, to be honest, it actually boomed in my recession of 2008. It got really, really big. But at that time also, I moved to the Bahamian Islands working for another company called Wox, Way Out Experiences. So I was working at Bubble Size Center at the time. And unfortunately, because of the recession, EcoSphere was kind of booming, but then Wox, unfortunately, was suffering with the recession. So they actually stopped the turtle project at that time. Mm. So I actually then continued on. So I spoke directly with Bubbles and said that we can continue on. I can still stay here, but I can put it under EcoSphere rather than via Wox. And that's kind of how I ended up the first sort of project into Hempian. So, originally we were just offering kind of a membership program and connecting projects and people. And then in 2008, we started our first project.
How did you end up, working, tying up with Fuse?
Oh, Fuse, yeah. So, basically, I met up with Pazis for the first time on the beach at Bubbles. Mm-hmm. So, he's actually bringing over a group from UK who were adults with Asperger's and Down syndrome. He was like a leader for them in the UK. So we hit off straight away. He was Malaysian, but he was working in the UK. So the kind of opposite. We're always at yin and yang. Mm. So he then actually moved back to the UK. Moved back to Malaysia and then started up his own adventure company called Fuse. Mm. So he was based in Ipoh. He started up the Bukit Kindin Adventure Park back in 2011, that was.
Right.
So he started that up. And then by 2013, we thought, you guys, let's try and work together and do something that's kind of very unique. Mm-hmm. So we actually merged the two companies together. So Fuse was an outdoor adventure team building entity, and we were more kind of focused on conservation and projects.
Right.
So we're one of the first kind of team building and school expedition kind of companies that actually run the conservation projects as well at the same time.
Right. Well, kill two birds with one stone, maybe not a good expression.
Now,
I like how your website outlines, the work you've done. I'm just going to quote some of them: from 163 animals rescued from the wildlife pet trade, 43 released back to the wild with your partner project, to 1.8 million contributed to local communities by engaging their services in the course of your programs. And this is since 2012. And you've got a couple of things as well. Maybe you can just, elaborate a little bit on each of these milestones.
Yeah, sure. And we work in conservation. Conservation is our core, and we always want to connect people to nature. Mm. And the reason is because when you do conservation, actually the issues is not because of the animals generally, it's normally because of humans. So if we can connect the humans to nature and get them back to thinking, let's protect nature and love nature, then they're more likely to lead conservation efforts or lead a more environmentally conscious lifestyle. So that's always been our key, to try and connect people to nature. So when we do our volunteerism programs and corporate volunteering programs, we do try to benefit the local people as much as possible. So they're kind of involved in what we do. So things like Malay dinners in the Hindian Islands, where we bring our volunteers and our groups to homes of the villagers, and we eat with our hands, wear a sarong, kind of like an open house kind of style. You know? And then also, in terms of our conservation work as well, we always try to employ like transportation. We try to employ from the local village as well, in Meripo and in Bahintian. I think it's really important to actually involve the local community in the conservation work that we do. So that's a really proud thing for us. And also say about the wildlife rescue centres, we don't run that ourselves, but we partner up with an organisation in Indonesia, in Java. The NGO lead the conservation work, and then we actually support them by providing volunteers and groups. And back in 2018, we actually provided 90% of the revenue for that center was via our volunteers and groups. Right. So we're directly helping them, which is, it works very well. It's a great partnership.
And I guess it must be fulfilling, you know, to see, you know, there is greater participation with the different things from, you know, turtle eggs to school and university participants. So do you see there is more, apart from awareness, you know, action as well in the last 15 years that you've been doing this?
Most definitely. You can see it from individuals to also businesses. For instance, in Bahintian Islands, the last 3 years, working with the stakeholders in the island, the dive centres and the resorts, has been actually very, very good. They've been very cooperative, very passionate and wanting to actually get out there and do something for the environment. You regularly see in Bahintian and the environment, the dive centres actually getting involved in clearing ghost nets and doing conservation work. This is something we didn't see like 10 years ago. Also, everyone's getting on board, like the no plastics, no single-use plastics kind of campaigns as well. So things like banning water bottles from the resorts, that's becoming more common. We actually have in the Bahintian Islands, we had a zero waste and no plastic map. So you can actually see where in Bahintian, which dive centres and which resorts have water bottle refill stations, where you can get your reusable straws. So I definitely see, in terms of the business side of it, I think people are definitely getting on board now in the last 3 years.
Right.
And then also in terms of the people, I think this young generation nowadays, like 18 to 25-year-olds, they're used to kind of this online, I can talk, it's my GC, talk about issues, and it's great. It's great to see this coming through from the people in the Rakat, that they want to kind of protect the environment. And also in Bahintian, something we're quite proud of as well, is that we actually started doing school clubs back in 2010, where we actually went to SK Bahintian and started to do awareness programs with the children. So then those like 9, 10-year-olds now are actually like 19, 20. So we've actually got a group now in the island, a young group who want to actually take some action. Like 5, 6 of the guys want to actually do some conservation work with us, which we're hoping to push on in 2021.
Right. What continues to disappoint you?
Change is happening, but it is slow.
It is slow.
It is very slow. And to be honest with you, it's quite often the older generation that we find that they don't change so easily. And seeing kind of passion from people in jobs which can make a difference. When you've got a passionate person like leading, change can be really, really quick and fast. And so when you've got people in power with passion, things can happen. So hopefully more of that can happen in the future.
Right. Unfortunately, they're usually in the older category. We'll talk a little bit how things have been impacted because of the pandemic in just a moment. I'm here with Daniel Coulter from Fuse Ecotier Outdoor Adventures. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning, Frida Liu here, Diana Coulter from Fuse Ikotea Outdoor Adventures. We've been talking about the work that they've been doing since 2005. And, you know, you are a social enterprise that focuses on conservation projects, and you've got your own projects, and you also support two independent NGOs. Correct me if I've got the figures wrong. But how has your business been impacted because of what's happened?
So I'd say pre-COVID, 95% of our income is actually from international tourists and international groups. We've basically got 5% of our income this year. We're a registered travel company and the Mosaic and a social enterprise in the Magic. So one of the good side of it though, which is great, I really, really love, is that instead of having international volunteers, now we're getting a lot more, like 100% Malaysian volunteers, which is something I love, and it's really great because we want more Malaysians to join these programs. You do pay a fee to join, and that helps to pay for the wages and the programs and stuff. But it's like considered kind of like an ethical holiday or trip. So we've had really good feedback from the young Malaysians who are joining our program, which I'm really happy with, and hopefully that can continue into the future.
Right.
So you're going on kind of like an ethical holiday. But also, it's made us push more on with our recycling, river plastic recovery recycling program, which is based in Kayu Ara, and also from Brahinsium as well, which is where we actually collect plastic from the environment, and then we turn it into products. So we've been doing a lot more of that recently, which is great because we're actually making an impact in KL where people live, and we're getting a few volunteers joining us, which is great. But people start to realize that even though you're in quite an urban area of like Kelana Jaya, but that's the otters using the river, we've got painted store, you know, we've got quite a lot of animals and biodiversity, but it's surprising the amount that we've got there, and it's great. People start to realize that, you know, nature starts from home.
Right.
You know, conservation starts from home, not from you just have to go away and join a volunteering project or support an NGO. Actually, conservation starts from home.
Right. And it's interesting, right, because you're saying we're not getting international travellers and Malaysians can't travel anywhere. So it's like you say, you know, conservation starts at home. We should start with Malaysians right now because they can't travel anywhere and it's a good thing to do. You know, when we get to be travellers again, I mean, whether it's locally or overseas, right, how can people be sustainable travellers?
I think definitely number one is considering the impact of the flights, obviously. So if you're going to go to Thailand, if you're going to go to, say, Phuket, Krabi, try and take the train that way, you know? Try and take different forms of transport. If you're going to take a flight, then try and stay for longer, so then it's impactful. That'd be number one. Number two, I'd say definitely get out of your hotel. Try and stay away from the chains and all the brands and stuff like that. Go and eat locally. Use local tour operators. So the spillover effect of your money is actually going into the local economy. And that is even more important now after COVID because obviously the big companies generally, they've got a good nest egg to be able to survive on, whereas the local tour operators, they don't have. And actually, generally, local tour operators, you get a better, more authentic kind of experience as well because they're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And then three, I'd say, is that you try to reduce your plastic. I mean,
I was looking at your website and you talk about animal tourism, right? And what should we be mindful of? I know about not riding elephants, right? But bathing them?
Yeah, even just bathing them. I mean, it's trying to get away from that kind of, like, you know, just let them be as natural and wild as possible, I think. The less kind of interactions they have with humans, the better.
Right.
I know. I understand that if you get closer to animals, then you're more loved and more passionate about the animal. Mm-hmm. I know it's kind of like a healing process as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, just try to respect them. I mean, I played with elephants back in 2003, actually, in Kolaganda. It is a very good experience.
Right.
But I mean, like, now we're kind of a bit more aware of what we should be doing. Just trying to stay from waiting.
Right.
Pay for that food, and then, yeah, let the people do it.
Right.
Be respectful, yeah.
Give them their space.
Yeah.
Because we took their space anyway.
Exactly.
You know, looking at what this current situation, so what can individuals, schools and corporations do to support your business right now?
Yes, yeah, so we actually have school trips and field trips, which before COVID was more like Escuela Valencia and Fuerte Maripo, to Bulum. But now we actually have workshops that we can do, upcycling workshops in school. There's actually quite a few locations around Selangor. So if your school is in KL or Selangor, there's quite a lot of really cool locations in Selangor which we can take the children to, which we can learn about the environment and get them involved in plastic recycling, which is something that we really want to push on in the future. And then also, of course, same thing for corporates. So if corporates want to do corporate volunteering, we can get them involved in like cleanups, recycling, get them involved in tree planting. We worked with American Express for the last 2 years, and they actually, through the programs, a lot of hard work by their team and our team, and pandemic, we actually managed to help them get CSR awards because of the program. And the actual participants of the programs actually really enjoyed it because they're kind of giving back at the same time. And it's kind of a different experience when you give back together and do something good together. I mean, that's kind of a strong bonding moment, you know?
Right.
So there's that. And then also with our plastic recycling, we're looking for people to partner up with us to help the Kayara River, to help rehabilitate it, to clean it up, and then ultimately to start buying back the plastics that we recover from the river. And when we upcycle it to items like wool cloths for the office, in the future we're going to be having more like office stationery, which we made from plastic from the river.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, is it easy? I mean, what are the things that you say to yourself? Because is trying to strike the balance between doing the right thing and making money, because you have to be sustainable as well, right?
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite tricky, or very tricky, but it's essentially a social enterprise. And social enterprises are companies that do good, right? Or like NGOs that kind of are self-sustaining by selling products or their items. So it's a tricky balance, but I think it's always making sure that staying true to your values and putting your values at the top. It's not all about making money, but of course you've got to make money. So you have the three bottom lines, the three P's. So you got people, planet, and profit. So when you start looking at your company in that way, then you can actually create an impact. And there's a few big companies that have done it before. There is a surfing company, and they actually use the plastic from the sea, and they turn it into like a comb for applying the wax to the surfboard.
Right.
Okay. So they actually use these products, which is actually part of their everyday operation, and every board they sell these combs, wax combs. It's all made from plastic from the sea and actually being made in Myanmar. So they're supporting the local communities in Myanmar, cleaning up the sea, ocean plastic from Myanmar. And so just by having this big profitable company, you are making a difference, because every board you sell has got some form of ocean plastic. So the better you do, the bigger your impact. And I think that CSR as well in the future should really be looking at that, where you try to see where you can source your everyday items you need for your company, source it from ethical sources. So it either goes to like social enterprises. I mean, there's loads and loads in Malaysia now. Via Magic, there's lots of social enterprises that are being developed. And now with all this COVID and issues with transportation, if it's being made in Malaysia, then great. You know, it may be slightly more expensive than from China, but try to support local, and businesses can really make a big difference. And I think that's something that I would really wish that we can see in the next 5 to 10 years, is that businesses are becoming more aligned to giving back and aligning their CSR to their items that they sell.
Right. You know, we saw what happened with the environment during the lockdown around the world, and the environment actually improved, right? And if you look at what's happening in like the pandemic, final question, right? How is conservation work all the more important because of what has happened?
Yeah, I mean, most people have seen the David Attenborough A Life on Earth series. And I mean, that sums it up, you know? Mm. Without biodiversity, the planet is not as healthy as what it should be. If it's not as healthy, if there is an issue that comes up, like in the future, I'm sure there's going to be another pandemic that comes up, we'll be less likely to be able to survive it. And it's imperative that we keep our biodiversity, and it's something that has actually decreased in the last 50 years. Mm. You know, it's not something that's been going on for a while. It's actually really accelerated, not the last 50 years, but even like the last 30 years, it's really accelerated. And it's our responsibility to kind of pass it on to the next generation. Mm. You can imagine in Malaysia in the future for our kids and our grandchildren when there's no tiger. Mm. You know, can you imagine that? Isn't that not such a sad thing to think about? Mm. You know, and there's already like no leatherbacks in Malaysia, which was the figurehead of Trungganu. Mm. But now there's no leatherbacks. So it's something really sad for us as intrinsically that is a bad thing, but then also for the planet, if there's a lower biodiversity, the planet is less able to heal.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time and the work that you do. I've been speaking to Daniel Coulter from Fuse Ecotier Outdoor Adventures. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.